if you could find brand new worlds right here on Earth, where anything is possible? Same planet, different dimension.
I found the gateway.
The Rewatch Podcast presents The Sliders Rewatch, dedicated to the series Sliders on Fox and Sci-Fi Channel. Join us each week as we continue crossing the Einstein-Rosen-Podolsky Bridge and find ourselves in strange new worlds. Email your thoughts on each episode to the Rewatch Podcast at gmail.com. Join us on Facebook at facebook.com/rewatchpodcast or on Twitter at rewatchpod. Welcome back to the Rewatch Podcast and our Sliders Rewatch. I'm Corey.
And I'm the death of the timer.
Oh, no.
Yes. So sad. All these episodes.
Oh, so long, timer. Well, thank you for joining us here at the Rewatch Podcast. And today we're, of course, discussing two more episodes of Sliders. And those episodes are Murder, Most Foul, and Slide Like an Egyptian. So, episode one today, Murder Most Foul, was written by David Peckinpah.
David Peckinpah.
And directed by Jeff Woolner. This originally aired on January 3rd of 1997. We're into a new year.
Yes, we are.
I feel like one of the Blues Brothers.
Don't get me started on how they ripped off Sam and Dave.
They think the professor's flipped out. Getting him out of here may take more than a polite request.
Once we find him, we take him, no matter how rough it gets.
You don't even have a plan, Q-Ball.
We have a plan, we just don't know what it is yet. Hi, we're looking for a friend of ours, Professor Maximilian Arturo.
I'll handle this. I'm Dr. Punch. I did the eval on Professor Arturo. It certainly didn't take you a long time to find him.
We'd like to see him.
He's on his way to Park 919. His fracture is severe, but Dr. Bolivar's had great success with his new treatments.
Well, I'm sure he has, but no such treatment has been authorized. Where is this place?
I'd like to see your identification, please.
I have a better idea. You show me yours so that I won't forget. This whole thing may fall hard. I want to be sure that it falls on you.
Our sliders land in a world where it seems everyone is wearing suits with some place to go. A world where the goal is to be constantly working and using your time wisely to make profit and not waste it. Arturo ends up sliding into a pile of garbage which exacerbates already bad mood and necessitating a change of clothes. While going off to find said clothes, a suited man spills coffee on Arturo and he has a loud tantrum screaming at the top of his lungs. He's approached by a woman who reports him as a possible fracture, drugs him, and takes him away to doctors who determine that despite not being able to find Arturo in any database, he must be someone of great importance as his identity has been electronically cloaked by executive orders. They refer him to a place called the Park and a doctor named Bolivar who uses hypnosis to reprogram Arturo into thinking he is a Sherlock Holmes type detective named Reginald Doyle, one among many characters involved in a mystery role-playing game which will supposedly heal his fractured and stressed mind. Wade, Quinn, and Remy end up joining the Park as players in order to find Arturo and rescue him. However, they soon discover that there is a real mystery unfolding as some of the players are being murdered for real during the story. Bolivar pushes to end the story because of the real murder, but Dr. Dunhill says they cannot because some of the people in this park are the finest minds in the world and must be repaired. As the mystery unfolds, Arturo starts to see problems as the real murders conflict with the earlier fake murders, but after he glances at his pocket watch, the hypnotic trance is reinforced. Luckily, one of the boys who stole the timer and play-acting as a pickpocketing street kid turns out to be a genius who is supposedly also a fracture, but has seen the true murderer and can partially identify them by their shoes. One night, Arturo's pocket watch is broken, which slowly enables his true personality to slowly rise to the forefront. The professor deduces that the first murders were charades, but that the last murder was true and committed by Bolivar, who he goes to, and who then takes Arturo back in for more reprogramming. Bolivar proceeds to try and frame the professor, Quinn, and Remy for the murder, but he is exposed while trying to kill Wade, and the sliders slide.
Top of the fiber, slightly soiled. The base is pristine. Jolly Jack has just had new carpets in his home or office. Care to look?
Can we let that go for now, and will you talk to me?
And then there's this shoe cast. Note, it's recently been half sold. I want you to contact every cobbler in the area. Get them to prepare a list of recent customers with size 11 feet.
All right. Professor!
Marple, will you please stop this affectation of calling me Professor? It is most irritating. What is the matter with you, man? Well, since you saw that murdered girl, you've been acting as if you're shell-shocked. I myself am worn to the nub. This is a dreadful business, this. Quite dreadful. And there's something wrong here. Something I can't put my finger on.
That's an interesting watch. May I see it?
Certainly not. You've seen it every day for years. That's better. I seem to have acquired my second wind. You put on the kettle. It's going to be a long, long night.
Okay, so just like last week, we actually have a fair bit of behind-the-scenes trivia on this.
Okay, so in this one, originally, everyone was supposed to be a Sherlock Holmes character. They wanted to do that. They didn't have Reginald Doyle in there. There's no real explanation for why they didn't keep it as Sherlock Holmes. Someone said on the Dimensions of Continuity that maybe it was because it made it seem more like an alternate world. Like instead of having Sherlock Holmes, you know, tied to our world, this is like a definite different world where there was no Sherlock Holmes and it was just some guy named Reginald Doyle.
Right.
So that was their explanation for it.
Yeah.
But yeah, originally, you know, there was Watson, there was Lestrade, there was Moriarty. So it was all the old traditional Sherlock Holmes characters.
And I'm pretty sure Sherlock Holmes would be in the public domain, so it's not like they'd have to get any rights
right.
to it or anything. So.
And that's what I was thinking too, you know. And someone actually mentioned that on the Messages in Time, that they did mention Sherlock Holmes in the episode. They just didn't name all the characters after, you know, after them. So, yeah, it was probably just to give it more of that feel of like, oh, this is a totally different world because we don't know who Reginald Doyle is, you know. Originally, they were going to go to their room first. So instead of just walking around and going to the bar, they actually went to their room and they had an argument in the room. And that's when Arturo leaves to go. And he gets hit by biker mud. There's some biker that's going by and splashes mud on him. And the same thing, you know, he has a big tantrum and the lady comes and, you know, takes him away. There was a reference to some more alt history about someone named Gates, and I'm thinking they were referring to Bill Gates, and he was the first lady's psychic medium at the time, and he went crazy, and he had to undergo therapy as well, but he ended up killing himself in their story. So a little bit more morbid, but a nice reference to Bill Gates because he's a genius, you know, like he's very smart, of course. So, you know, a good way of saying, yeah, even, you know, this guy, he went crazy because of, you know, working too hard.
Yeah, interesting.
Yeah. There was some more scenes with how they were hired as the players in the role-playing simulation there. And they were asked if they were training therapists or civilian workers, and they chose civilian workers. But I guess some of those people in the cast are supposed to be actual other therapists in training. So they would get to see, you know, a patient, you know, go through recovery this way. So it was used as a training for them, not just as a recovery for the fractured minds. There was also a reference to the mall world and the costumes they had to wear there. Remy said something about not liking wearing these costumes, and there was a callback to the elf costume he had to wear. There was a reference to Percom in the actual episode. Wade says something about leaving her Percom back at the room, but they never really explained what that was, and it was basically just a personal communications device that they had to have on them when they were role-playing so they can communicate with the people running the whole thing, the therapists and whatnot. And, you know, if there was a problem and they lost it, they would have to buy the Percom. They had to pay for it.
Yes, the age before the cell phone.
Right, exactly. There was other bits and pieces of dialogue here and there. Nothing really major. There was an explanation of how Quinn became Marple. Because, you know, like Arturo is the featured player. You know, he's the guy, you know, the main one. And then they have other, you know, hired actors and whatnot. And somehow Quinn just becomes a major player, like his assistant. And what they said was it was likely just because of pure chance, because of their previous association. He was, you know, the professor sort of picked up on that previous association in his mind and just pulled him into the story. So that's how he got to be a major player when, you know, obviously there were other more qualified people that would have played Marple. Probably one of the training therapists would have played Marple.
Yeah, I can see that, because he sort of dismisses Quinn when he first sees him, and then when Quinn approaches him, he says, right, "Of course I recognize you, Marple," and then it sort of proceeds from there. So, yeah.
Exactly. Yeah. So it was a nice little scene there. I thought that would have been cool. Let's see. There was also a scene of Quinn and Remy trying to get the boy who stole the timer, to help them, because the boy is hiding away. And Remy's saying stuff like, "Hey, we got some nice cash, some coins here for you if you give us our timer back," you know. And Quinn's like, "Hey, we helped you get away. Now we need your help." You know, like trying to coax him out from the hiding place.
Mm.
Not really needed. There was the boy also explained more about the method of erasing the mind and the personality overrides they were doing. And he said this is not the only place that does it, that like last season he played in Sherwood Forest somewhere else in the in the city. So this is not the only place that does the mind wiping or the personality overriding. So there's multiple places in this world for them to do that.
Doyle, I suppose you're looking for Inspector Reed.
Yes, I imagine you do. As you may surmise, I have solved the Ripper murders.
Well done, Doyle. Don't keep me in suspense. Who's our Jolly Jack?
Inspector Reed's scene of crime reports help fill in the final blanks. The handwriting, when compared with that of the Ripper's notes, was conclusive proof.
Reed? I can't believe it.
Neither can I. Despite the rather elaborate lengths that you went to make sure that I did. Reed did write the first two notes. But the third, the one attached to the single rose, that was in a different hand. I took the liberty of comparing it with the police files to see if I could come up with a match. The handwriting was yours, Chief Inspector.
Doyle, I won't take offense because of our long-standing relationship, but this is outrageous.
There was only one murder, and you committed it. The other was an elaborate charade, designed for what purpose I do not yet know. I'm sure that when we match your shoes to the impressions I took at the scene of the real murder, they will match.
You're not feeling well, are you, Doyle?
All right, well, let's get into our discussion of Murder Most Foul. Okay, so Arturo slides into garbage.
I'm sure John Rhys-Davies was just like, this is the best episode ever. This is the best episode ever. Love garbage.
It's like you were saying, it's almost as if like David Peckinpah is like pushing him to leave the show.
Yes. Hey, John, guess what we got you doing this week? You're going to get covered in garbage.
And then, of course, you're going to be walking down the street and someone's going to spill coffee all over you.
Exactly. I got to say, I mean, it's very comical, of course, but I thought, I don't know, maybe it's just me, the Sliders are being a little bit mean-spirited to him when they slid into this world. You know, like, there was no sympathy that he landed in garbage. They were cracking jokes, you know? And I was like, oh, come on, you know?
We're laughing with you, not at you. I love
that. Yeah, because obviously. Yeah. I was like, what? Come on. You guys are supposed to be friends, you know? So I found that a little mean-spirited of the gang.
No, a little bit. And you can see he's very tense.
Oh, yeah, he's very, yeah. It's like, you know, like if you can read people, there's like a point where you can like look and say, oh, wait, you know what? We should back off because he's really getting pissed off. You know, like you should be able to read people like that.
But then, our gang's in the bar there and having a drink. And
of course they're in the bar.
Yeah. And it's been a few episodes. It's been a few episodes, but Diggs is back.
Oh,
and
yes.
Like everybody else, he's dressed up in a black suit. Because this seems like to be like the uber professional world where everybody works. Mm-hmm. But it's funny that his character is still like very much the same gossipy character.
Oh, yeah. Gives them everything they need to know.
And I do love that he looks at them when they say, oh, have you seen our friend? And he goes, dressed tramp like you. And they're like wearing some nice clothes.
Right, right.
But
it's just in comparison to what everyone else wears.
Yeah, exactly. But yeah, I just thought that was funny as well, that even though he's still a professional who works in a bar, he's still pretty gossipy.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
And then Remy, they find out that Arturo is taken away,
mm-hmm.
and they go to find out where he is, right? And there's this doctor who does what she calls an eval, and she seems to be getting suspicious of them. Because they mm-hmm. won't, like, show ID or anything like that. They just want to get their friend back. And I don't know where they thought to sort of play this, like, conspiracy agency kind of role. But it's kind mm-hmm. of what they were playing. And then Remy gets, like, super menacing with this doctor.
He does. He played it really well.
Yeah, it was cool. But I just don't understand, like, how they came up with this idea of, like, being some sort of shadow agency.
Well, I don't know either, but, I mean, like, it's neat when, like, a couple episodes ago when Arturo just came up with a cover story just, like, off the top of his head. And then this is, like, Remy's moment here. He comes up with this thing just right off the top of his head. He just leans in there and he just has this whole explanation, you know, like, he doesn't flinch. For a moment, he just offers up this explanation about what, you know, who they are. Well, not who they are, but saying, you don't need to ask who we are, you know. And it was perfectly done. I don't know where they got the idea, but I thought it was really well done.
Yeah, exactly. That's where I'm like, because we did have like a setup scene of her talking with another doctor about like how he must be some sort of like high profile government person or something, you know.
Mm-hmm,
and
mm-hmm.
then the very next scene, the sliders are walking in and they're sort of playing their part to the... I guess, reinforce her belief.
Right.
And it was just...
And they didn't hear her talking, so they just sort of pulled it out, and just it was nice that it fit, you know?
Yeah, exactly. So, yeah, a little disconnected there, but whatever.
Mm-hmm.
But we get into the whole thing of in, like, a high-stress world where people work all the time, they have these, like, role-playing games. Like huge areas of the city that are blocked off where people have their minds erased and replaced with a new personality
mm-hmm.
to give their brain time to rest. And then they can play out the scenario in these role-playing games. That's pretty much the crux of it. And it's an interesting idea.
It is. I thought it was okay. Like when I first watched the episode back in the day, I'm not sure if I paid that close attention to why it was happening, but like, yeah, I like the idea. I like the idea that you can, like, you overwrite your personality and you play as this other person. And then your real, you know, mind gets to relax and sort of recover from all the stress and stuff. That's an interesting idea. I don't know if there's a real science behind that, like in the real world, like in our world. I wonder if there are things like that where people can just, I mean, you know, like you play, like when you are getting stressed, you try to find something to release that stress. So maybe you play sports, you play video games, music, whatever. So maybe it's something like that to the max, maybe.
It kind of makes me think like, you know, I don't think the technology for something like this would be real. I mean, maybe to an extent with hypnosis or something,
mm-hmm.
but it makes me think of like people who have like a split personality or... You know, they say that sometimes when someone becomes a victim of a horrific event, they can sort of separate themselves
from
the situation and sort of experience this horrific event as an observer mm-hmm. or something like that. So it's like separating yourself from your own mind. So I think it sort of has its basis in reality.
Right.
But, you know, of course, it's sliders, so they're going to take that and extrapolate it.
Yes. I thought it was a neat idea. I just like the idea. And it's not like, you know, just like a little tiny spot. They got a whole entire section of the city designated to this, to the whole role-playing park. I don't know. For me, a murder going on would be very stressful. Even if I'm role-playing, you know, maybe it's, maybe because it, like you said, personality is not going to affect your real mind. For me, I'd be stressed as the guy trying to solve a murder.
Yeah, well, I think this is something that might have been taken from the real world. And I think, you know, it might not be so much in favor now, but not too long ago, people used to have, like, a murder mystery theme night. You know, you could host a party at your house and it would be a murder mystery. So I think it's, supposed to be that sort of thing. It's interesting that they would choose the theme of this park to be, like, a Sherlock Holmes thing. Well, it's Reginald Doyle, but, like we said, it's pretty much Sherlock Holmes. And the story being Jolly Jack. Or Jack the Ripper. And you're right, it is. It's kind of a horrific thing of serial killer walking the streets killing women, yeah?
You know, I think they still do those murder mystery things. Because I think I saw that like on a Groupon thing where you can participate in some kind of murder dinner, murder mystery dinner or something like that. So they must still do that type of thing.
I've never actually been to one myself, but I always thought it was an interesting idea. It'd be a fun night with friends.
Yeah, exactly. So I don't know. I'll have to watch my email the next time Groupon comes through. Maybe I will do one, and I'll be Reginald Doyle.
Nobody would know what you're talking about.
Exactly.
You show up there, he's like, no, I'm not Sherlock Holmes. I'm Reginald Doyle.
Don't you know anything?
Have you not seen the '90s sci-fi classic Sliders? God, girl.
It's elementary, you blistering idiot.
Have you lost your marbles, my boy? So, yeah. But, you know, and then, of course, the story unfolds from there, you know. An actual murder happens. And Arturo is going to continue playing the role of Reginald Doyle and investigating this, while it seems like nobody else realizes that this was an actual murder.
It's pretty cool because you got the murder within a murder mystery, you know, or mystery in a mystery. It's like it was really kind of neat, the layers that they did there, because it's really cool, like, later on when he discovers, like, wait a second, there's something very different here. Because this murder, this one, he could smell the blood. But then the other ones, it's like, nah, those don't line up. So something's going on there. So it was neat the way they did that.
Yeah, yeah. I actually thought that was quite funny when he unveils the whole thing at the end. And he's pretty much figured out the whole thing. In that the first two murders were some sort of elaborate hoax for reasons I do not know yet.
Yeah, I was wondering how they were going to solve that because, you know, the first one, you know, he said, I did not smell that smell of the blood and I smelt it here. I was wondering, and I thought that Bolivar, I thought that he was the red herring. I thought he was, you know, going to be the bad guy. I didn't think he was going to be the bad guy. Or not, wait, what am I saying? When they first showed him, I thought, boy, he's really creepy. And I was like, oh, he is the bad guy. But then when they started to lead it towards the other guy, like he was trying to frame Reed, I was like, oh, he's the bad guy. And I totally ruled out Bolivar then. And then so that twist at the end really got me when I originally watched it.
And I really liked the actor playing Dr. Bolivar.
Mm-hmm, yeah. I don't know what else he's been in.
Yeah, I don't know. It was just something about like the character he played in the role-playing game versus the doctor versus, spoiler alert, the killer.
Right. Yeah.
But it was when Arturo rocks up at his door and says, well, you know, as suspected, I've solved the Ripper case.
Mm-hmm.
And he looks at me and goes, well done, Doyle. Come on in.
Yeah, no, it was really good. And like, when I first saw him, I was like, boy, he's a little creepy, you know? And then I thought, oh, well, maybe they're just trying to make it seem like that he's the bad guy, but he's not the bad guy. And then, of course, the good-looking Reed, you know, who hits on Wade at some point, you know? And, you know, I thought, oh, so he's the real bad guy. And they're like, no, it's him. Oh, my gosh, I was taken.
Yeah, and then I can't say I really liked the explanation for it at the end because it's like, you know, it almost feels like they didn't explain it very well because they were just like, no, he's the fracture. You know? And he's like, wow, man. Like, in a high-stress world, these fractures can just murder people? Like, what?
Mm-hmm. I guess if you're in a high enough position like he was, you know?
So, yeah. I don't know. It just seems like when they say fracture, you know, you think of, like, how Arturo was acting in the street, you know, going all crazy, yelling at people, something like that.
Right.
Whereas Bolivar seemed to be able to pretty much continue doing his job as a doctor, plus do the role-playing bit, and come up with a fairly sophisticated murder plot, which included murdering someone, framing someone else.
Well, yeah, you know, see, like, I didn't think about it, but when you put it like that, it's like, yeah, that really isn't the best explanation there.
Yeah. So I'm just like, he didn't behave like what we were led to believe a fracture would behave, though.
It lines up more with how you were thinking, like a split personality type thing.
Yeah, yeah. So I don't know.
So yeah, I feel like Greg Brady or something. I never thought about it like that, Dad. Yeah. I never thought about it like that. That's a good that is true. That is true. All right. Yeah. Okay.
And then on the other side, we've also got the good old tried and tested missing timer or stolen timer cliche.
Right? Oh, yeah. Oh, it's just awful. It's like they got to stop doing that. It's such fake drama, you know, because you know they're going to get it back. It's like, oh, man, this again. All right. So here we go. I mean, wasn't it just like an episode or two ago? Was it our last episode? They were going to they had that in there in the script and they got rid of it in state of the art. The timer was going to be damaged and they weren't going to be able to repair it until the very end when it was amazingly just repaired and never even addressed and they got rid of it because it's done too much.
Yeah, it really is. But yeah, I do have to say, because if I've said it before, I've said it a million times, child actors, ugh. This kid does an all right job. I didn't mind him, you know, he had some good lines.
He wasn't that bad, yeah.
Yeah, when he talked about having dismantled the timer and then put it back together again, figured out what it does and all that kind of stuff. I believed it. You know, I was going with it. But then at the same time, he came across as like just a kid who wanted to play, you know, by the end there. You know, he's super smart and he says, you know, I've got all this time to play in the park now, but hey, maybe one day I'll build my own dimension gizmo and I'll come and find you.
That was like, no, you're not. You're not going to. It'd be nice if you did. It'd be pretty cool, you know? But just like Logan St. Clair, you're never going to come back again, kid. You're gone. You're off with what's his name? The dog, Henry, and
Ryan,
and the girl from the, you know, from El Cid. You're all just hanging out somewhere. You're with them. You're never going to see these guys again. Forget it.
Yeah, well, they do give him that one line that he has to deliver after they've slid, just like the kid in the Texas California world.
Oh, that's right,
Quinn, where are you? This time it's like look up at the sky and go, one day I will find you guys, and he's like, oh, God, shut up.
You know what
you were
I
doing
want?
So
you...
well, kid.
You want the Punk Wade fanfic. I want a fanfic with all the characters that went missing after we took them to the next world. I want that fanfic where they all come together and like maybe they plot against the Sliders for just leaving them on this world. I don't know. That's what I want. That's my fanfic. Someone out there, let's get on that. Come on.
Flame Boy is really going to attack this time.
Exactly. Flame Boy's revenge. Oh, good Lord. Okay.
But, you know, Bolivar does attack Wade. You know, he finally goes after her. It turns out he was actually after her the whole time. And it was, their little friend that they'd made who mistakenly thinks that a letter was for her. So she ends up being the victim instead of Wade. But when Bolivar starts attacking her and, you know, Wade's got a sprained ankle or something like that and she's still kicking him off. And I'm like, yeah, Wade ain't no victim.
That's right. Don't mess with her.
She's sassy.
She's sassy. She ain't got time for that. No, she was good. She was pretty good. The thing, like, now, all right, I'm not particularly big on this type of thing, but I notice a lot of things I see from different people on the social networks, and they always talk about, you know, needing strong women characters. And I think Wade is a very strong women character. The only thing I know that they would complain about is how she still does eventually need to be saved by a guy. You know, even though she is strong and she fights him off, eventually a guy has to come and finish the job. And I know that they don't like that type of thing. But I personally, I think she's a very strong character.
Well, you know, I thought the same thing watching this, because I think he manages to get a hold of her, like, three separate times. And it's really not until like that last time when the guys show up to help that it really looked like he was going to kill her. He was actually going to get there and kill her. So, but at the same time, I'm thinking, no, she got away from him all these times. It took so much for him to actually get to her. But at the end of the day, he is a grown man and she is a very tiny woman.
Right. Yes, yes.
So true, she's true, done true. Pretty well to get to where she was. And sure,
definitely,
she needs a, you know, Quinn or Remy or someone to come in and help her because, yeah, what's she, 90 pounds soaking wet weight against a grown man. Yeah,
exactly.
It was believable. I liked it.
And so there was another reference to the 29 years, which I missed.
Yeah, yeah. It was just a quick, while they were walking along the street, Quinn mentions it to Remy, you know, we need to, I think they were talking about just Arturo, getting Arturo's mind back or something, because if we don't slide, it'll be 29 years again. And I just thought, okay. Oh, there we go. Just another random 29 year reference. But yeah, all in all, I really like this episode. I thought it was fantastic.
Yeah, you know, which is surprising because it's written by David Peckinpah, you know, and we all know what happens, you know, with future episodes, but this one was actually really not too bad at all. Like I enjoyed it originally, you know, and rewatching it, it's a fun episode. You know, it's a very fun episode.
Yeah. And as you know, I questioned it when I was sort of giving, you know, just the stats at the beginning there. But this is the first episode written by David Peckinpah, and it's not bad.
Yeah, not a bad debut.
And now, another episode of Moments of Truth with Maximilian Arturo.
Is there a problem, sir?
No problem at all, madam. No, why? I just normally go around with coffee floating all over me.
This has been another episode of Moments of Truth with Maximilian Arturo.
So, getting into episode 2 today, the episode is Slide Like an Egyptian, written by Scott Smith Miller and directed by our old friend Adam Nimoy.
Adam Nimoy.
This originally aired on January 17th of 1997.
Julie, you've got to tell me what's going on. Hey, what was that thing?
It's a genetically engineered scarab. These insects, they're considered sacred by my people. It's to be sealed inside the tomb, along with the pharaoh and all his personal slaves.
Well, let me guess. It's not a pet.
The scarab guards the pyramid's riches against thieves. The slaves are his food. And now we are going to join them.
We start our slide in a world where Egypt's dominance in the world was never stopped by Alexander the Great, leading to pyramids among the skyscrapers of Los Angeles. On the street, a group of the pharaoh's attendants and the Kari Heb, the current man in charge, are escorting a giant genetically engineered sacred scarab to the pyramid to be sealed inside with the dead pharaoh. The scarab busts through its containment box and attacks one of the female assistants named Sheila, prompting Wade to jump in and help, but ultimately requiring Quinn to play hero to break them all free. The guards apprehend Quinn for helping, taking him to doctors Arkbit and Mubarak for a procedure in which he will be killed and then brought back to life, a procedure they have been experimenting with on sick or terminal patients, and in this case are lied to that Quinn himself has a tumor and to attempt the operation on him. Arturo rescues an imprisoned Wade while Remy tries to rescue Quinn but sees him on an operating table, seemingly dead, his body drained of its blood. He reports the news to Wade and Arturo, and they are all left saddened and shocked. Attempting to make Quinn's death mean something, the three remaining sliders choose to stay and rescue Sheila from being trapped in the pyramid, who tells them that Quinn is likely still alive as the procedure could have a better result when used on healthy people, so they choose to miss the slide to see if Quinn has survived. Quinn reveals to Mubarak that he is from a parallel dimension, to which she asks if he is royalty, because on this world, only those of royal heritage are allowed to travel between worlds. Mubarak is eager to hear about Quinn's experience in the afterlife, who denies telling her, not supporting their immoral medical procedures. The news reports that an interdimensional vortex was opened inside the pyramid, causing Quinn to realize that his friends are still inside, trapped. Together, they find the blueprints and realize the pyramid is meant to rotate. As Quinn rotates the model, a secret door is revealed, which contains a timer that the architect had stolen and planned to use to escape from the pyramid after it was sealed. Mubarak covers for Quinn and helps him escape when the authorities arrive, and the two make their way to the pyramid. Wade hacks into the pyramid's computer, and together with Arturo, deduces that if they can rotate the pyramid to the right angle, they will find the hidden passageway and be able to escape. Eventually, our group is reunited and slide using the new timer, while Mubarak stays and covers for them, sending the RDI and the Kerry Heb into the Scarab's waiting mouth.
Hey. Rembrandt? What's wrong? Where's Quinn?
Mr. Brown? When I got there, he was in an operating room. He was just lying there. He was dead. That's not possible. I know he was hurt, but the wound was slight, not enough to...
No. I don't believe it. I
saw it. They did something to him. All his blood was drained. And it just left him there. There was nothing I could do. There's nothing I could do for him.
So let's get into some trivia here.
All right, so this one started off a little bit differently. Arturo and gang are walking down the street, and Arturo is trying to take off some makeup that he is wearing. He apparently had seen Dennis Rodman on TV in this world, and it was suggested that guys would wear eyeliner like the Egyptians did back in the day, like you always see on the pictures. So Arturo actually did this and had Egyptian-like makeup on his eyes, and upon walking down the street realizes that no one actually is doing that. And it was just Dennis Rodman being, you know, his usual weird self. And so he's trying to take it off, and the sliders are making fun of him as he tries to take it off. It's a funny scene, but it doesn't really make sense, like, for Arturo to do that.
Yeah. He would, you know, continue just being his normal self.
Yeah. You know, it just doesn't seem like something that he would have done. It makes for a funny scene because you see John Rhys-Davies with Egyptian eye makeup on, but it doesn't really follow his character, I don't think. There was when Quinn wakes up after after the death experience, he actually tells Mubarak then that he is a slider, and they talk about the conversation about sliding happens then, right after he wakes up. The conversation between Arturo, Wade, and Remy about staying here to see if Quinn is okay, it was a little bit different. In the original, Arturo says, but if we miss this slide, you know, it's 29 years and then we're stuck here. You know, we have to slide, you know. And Wade says, no, we have to stay because, you know, he could be alive. We can't just leave him like that. You know, it was almost like Arturo wanted to slide. But then as they talk about it, it finally comes around to almost the final version. And Arturo says, you know what? I've lived my life already. You two are young. You go. I will stay and make sure Quinn's okay. So it does come around to almost like the final version, but it was a little different in the very beginning.
Mm-hmm. And we'll get into what we think of that actual scene.
Yes.
In the main discussion, I think.
Now, thank goodness they got rid of this scene. There was going to be some Diggs exposition, of course. Okay? There was going to be a lot more Diggs exposition. Did we see Diggs in this episode now? Let me think.
No, I don't think so.
Okay, so he was cut, thankfully, because it was such a badly written scene. Basically, Quinn, you know, they go back with the doctor to the chancellor, and his friends aren't there. And Quinn is just disgusted, and he's disgusted with the doctor, and he leaves the doctor. You know, he's like, just whatever, I'm done with you, and he leaves. And he goes down to the bar, you know, of the hotel, and of course Diggs is there, and there's like a news report going on talking about the pyramid, and Quinn is just there drinking, and like Diggs is just, you know, there at the bar, and Diggs starts offering up all this information. No one's asking him anything. Quinn's not talking to him at all, but Diggs is like, oh yeah, you know that pyramid, da 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 da, and it turns like this, and da 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 da, and the pharaoh's in there, and da 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 da, and the architect is doing this, and da da da. It was so bad. I was just like, oh my god, thank god they cut that out. It was just terrible. Yeah. It was like the worst type of exposition ever, because Quinn is just like sitting there minding his own business, and like Diggs just starts offering stuff about what's going on in the pyramid. It's like, what the heck?
Yeah, that sounds worse than usual.
Oh, it was bad. It was bad. You got to check it out. Again, you know, if you don't know by now, go to dimensionsofcontinuity.com. Check out the Lost and Found section. And you can read that scene in all its wonderful exposition glory. All right. So let's see. There was a scene with the Dr. Murabek facing off with Ockbit. These names are really, really something. There's a scene with them two talking about how Quinn didn't have a tumor and how she was lied to and how come he lied to her about that. And it was a pretty decent scene. I'm surprised they didn't keep it in there, but it's, you know, for whatever reason, time, you know, they need to cut something.
Yeah, keep the story going.
Exactly. For some reason, and I couldn't figure this out, I had to read it a couple times. Sometimes, I don't know if sometimes these scenes are from different draft versions or what, but in one of these, Sheila, the girl that they saved, gets recaptured again. She gets recaptured again after she gets out of the pyramid, and they have her in the necrology ward again, about to be operated on, and you know, obviously she's not sick, or you know she's not supposed to be operated on. And Murabek comes in and she lets her out, like she saves her. It was a weird scene. Like, I don't know why, like, they would have had her recaptured again. It definitely cut for time, because there was no reason to have that in there, having her get captured again. So I'm not sure why that was in there.
Well, it's bad enough that she just disappears after they save her. So.
Exactly, she just runs off. She's gone. She's like, out of here. Oh my god, I'm out of here. So it was just weird scene. There was some more with the architect. So instead of him just dying like right away, he explained more about his timer escape plan, and he explained a little bit more about the computer, making a joke about the contractors that someone made. I forget who made the joke later, but and then finally he gets eaten by the scarab. But there was a little bit more with him, in case you really liked his character, you know. Whatever. If you did, I don't know what to say about you.
Yeah, the 30 seconds we spent with him.
Exactly. There was a scene with the FBI, well, the Egyptian FBI, with the RDI or whatever it was. They came into the room and found Quinn and the doctor in there, and they said they knew that the architect was going to slide, but we wanted to see if he had accomplices too, so they were waiting. So they were implicating that Dr. Murabek was an accomplice of the architect in stealing the timer and all that. And then as they go to arrest her, it goes back to the final version with Quinn and her leaping out the window. And then finally, there was a scene with Murabek and Quinn. Quinn saying, you can come with us. Of course, why not? You know, just drop her off in that world with Ryan and Henry the dog. There was a scene with, they're saying, yeah, you can come with us. And she's like, no, I'm going to stay here. I'm going to stop the experiments. And, you know, I'm going to fix this. And Quinn does keep the original timer. Like, he takes it with him, and because he says, you know, who's got the original? You got the timer? Okay, good. I need to get the geographic stabilizer out of it. And then they slide out of there. So there was a reference to the original timer as well.
Yeah, it's interesting that they didn't delve into that. Continuing.
No.
We do have a new timer now.
Oh, yep, they do.
Well, if anybody built a secret passageway in here, they certainly hit it well.
I said it was a possibility, not a probability. Oh.
What's so funny?
We came in here thinking Quinn was dead. Now he's probably alive and we're the ones who are stuck. Scarab.
Well, those sound like human feet.
Who are you and what are you doing in here?
We're locked in. Who are you?
The architect. What do you mean, locked in? The pyramid's not to be sealed until tomorrow.
Didn't you hear the alarm?
I've been in another part of the pyramid working.
The scarab broke loose. I think they sealed the building to prevent it from escaping.
Does anybody know you're in here?
I was going to ask you that same question.
Wouldn't matter. I'm supposed to die in here.
Well, are you saying that there's no way out of here?
There is another possibility. It's a secret passageway, but we have to get to the computer room. Quickly, this way.
Well, what's a computer do?
It controls the pyramid, but there's a way to...
All right, well, getting into our discussion of Slide Like an Egyptian. You know, I think it looks really cool, this opening shot of all these pyramids across L.A. What do you reckon?
Oh, yeah, definitely.
You know, you can look at it and you say, well, that's obviously just some, you know, quickie Photoshop thing from 1997.
Right.
But, you know, it was kind of an interesting look, you know, a quick way to sort of just set up that we're in this, like, Egyptian America.
Exactly.
I thought that was pretty cool.
There's a message in time about that, too. We'll get to a little bit later.
And then immediately we get into a woman in peril that Quinn and Wade have to go and save.
Of course they do. Why not? Let's get involved. But, you know, if they didn't, it'd be a very boring episode, so...
Yeah, that's true. It did sort of, I don't know, it just didn't seem like a regular episode in a way.
Yeah, there's something about it. It's different.
Yeah, just the way it kicked off, because they were all just like sort of walking down the street.
Right, we didn't see them slide in. That's right.
Egyptian world, and then just bang, something's happening. And I was just like, oh, geez. It just, I don't know. It just seemed like a weird beginning.
Yeah, I mean, we might as well mention it now, because it's not the elephant in the room. It's the beetle in the room. The beetle was just awful. The beetle was not good.
Yeah, that CG was pretty terrible.
You know, like in the beginning there, when it busts out of the box, it's like, well, okay. All right, maybe, you know, it's just an arm. Maybe it gets a little better later. But, like, it doesn't get any better. It gets worse when you start seeing it, like, full body on or whatever. It's not the best work that I've seen.
Yeah, with the woman who is, her name's Sheila, and she's sort of pressed up against the crate, and then Wade's there trying to pull her, and then Quinn's got, like, some sort of iron bar or something that he's picked up, and he's trying to, like, I guess, like, push the arm away.
Right, yeah, exactly.
And it just didn't mesh well together. It didn't look right.
Yeah, I was like, oh, okay. Suspend my disbelief. I'll go with it.
But it turns out that this is like a genetically engineered scarab beetle. And of course the scarab is, you know, a very precious part of Egyptian culture, right?
Mm-hmm.
And since they touched it, then they need to now also be sealed up in the pharaoh's tomb.
And see, when I was watching it, I was like, did they actually touch it? Because I know Quinn touched it with the bar, but it was like, you know, it's like they didn't really actually touch it with their hands. Maybe it's not such a big deal.
Well, maybe that's why Quinn got sent to the quote-unquote necrology ward of the hospital. Right. Whereas, you know, the girl was going to be sealed up in there. And...
Right, that's true.
Yeah, so Wade and Sheila are being taken out to the tomb.
Mm-hmm.
And the professor just saunters in to the back of the truck and knocks out the guard and saves Wade.
Security is very lax there, you know.
yeah,
that was a little convenient.
Just comes out of nowhere. And he's like, this is the pharaoh's tomb. Like, again, you know, this is part of Egyptian culture. When a pharaoh dies, he has his own giant pyramid tomb. You think security would be all over it.
Oh, yeah, exactly. but nope.
He's just sauntering in, whacking people across the head.
Come on, Wade, time to go.
So, yeah, a little convenient, but whatever.
The scene with Remy, of course, is much better than that.
Oh, yeah. Because Remy is going to go after Quinn, mm-hmm. and he finds him dead.
Bum, bum, totally bum. Dead.
this was a pretty good scene where he comes in, and it was kind of gruesome with all those buckets of blood. And
Yeah,
you know, I don't know. Do you remember thinking that maybe Quinn was dead when you watched the episode?
I never thought that he would die.
No, you know,
like he's just, it's like, it's that thinking like, well, he's the lead. How can you kill the lead? Well, they can stick around season 5 anyway.
Yeah. And well, I think especially because it sort of has like, you know, the old cliche of, you know, seeing your own body,
mm-hmm.
looking down on your own body when you die and you can hear Quinn talking and stuff like that. So it's like, yeah, he's going to come back. He'll end up back in his own body.
Yeah. Definitely.
Yeah, before we get to what's going on with Quinn, mm-hmm. we've got Remy delivering the news to Wade and Arturo. And this was a pretty damn good scene. Yeah,
this was his delivery, their reactions, everything was just like so well done.
And I love Arturo sort of reflecting on it. as well. Mm-hmm. You know, when he says, like, so many times, I wanted to tell him that he was like a son. You know, we'd heard him speak about Quinn as a student before.
Right.
You know, he'd said, like, you know, there's that time when you come across that first class mind, and, you know, as a teacher, you get the joy. But here, really is like, so many times I wish I had told him he was like my son, you know. And he says, like, I knew that he looked up to me as a father, and, you know,
right.
It was really great stuff.
Not to break up the great mood of Arturo, but, you know, like what he says, he was like a son to me, you know. Like, you know, like, you mean like the estranged son that you neglected, Arturo?
Yeah.
Is that what Quinn is like? Quinn like your estranged
That's
son?
Always going to come back, just in the back of your mind, niggling away.
Exactly.
Arturo, you have a son.
What do you mean he's like the son you never had? What are you talking about? No, but he did, yeah, it was very well done. It was very well written, very well done. I liked it, you know, and yeah. Remy was just, when he was delivering the news, it was just, yeah, it felt genuine. Like, Remy's really killing it these, you know, these last two episodes, you know, with those dramatic moments that he has.
Yeah, and of course, Wade breaking down as well.
Mm-hmm, definitely.
She's also, definitely. We've seen her do that, like when she freaked out on the, when they thought they were home, you know, and she had that freak out there. Like,
that's right.
I think Sabrina Lloyd does very well with that kind of stuff.
Not
so much when she has to scream in fear.
No, the screaming is not good. You know, she is on, like, I don't know if you ever saw Sports Night.
I never did say Sports Night.
You know, when I started rewatching Sliders, I actually started rewatching Sliders like a year and a half ago. I was rewatching a bunch of the episodes, and I started to get on this big Sabrina Lloyd kick, you know? And so I was like, well, let me watch Sports Night. And she was on there, and she has a very, you know, it's a comedy, but it's like it's one of those new brands of comedy where there's no laugh track, you know, which is, you know, those are good. I like those. But, and her character was a little quirky. She had some fun moments, but she does get involved in a storyline there that is a little bit dramatic, and she does a really good job of it. She's a very good actress. She really is, despite what some people might say, you know. She's really, really, really good. Now, as Quinn dies, he ends up seeing someone. It's supposed to be his dad, but that's not his dad. That's not his dad. That's definitely not his dad.
We've had Bizarro Quinn's mom, so now it's time to have Bizarro Quinn's dad.
Exactly. And if I remember correctly, looking ahead, even when we do meet his dad, it's not the dad that we knew from the first episode. Or from the first episode. We have different actors playing him then, too. So anyway, we focus on this one. Here we go. So we have this guy. We have his dad.
Yeah, so I don't know what the deal with this scene was, but it's weird.
I've got an idea. Like you say, you know, he sees his dad, they're tossing this football, and his dad says to him, you know, remember what I said? If you can touch it, you can catch it, you know? And he says, you know, and Quinn's like, I don't know how to get home. And he's like I always said, if you can touch it, you can catch it. What I think it is, and like there's other people too who have written about it, and they're not sure what is that advice, what does that mean, you know. I think that the advice means that if you kind of can get home, you're going to be able to get home, and they have kind of gotten home before, you know, at the end of Into the Mystic. So they kind of touched their home. They kind of touched Earth Prime. So it's like, you know, you did it once, you can do it again. It can happen. Like, you can, like, if you touched it there, you can catch it and get home. It's just going to take some time. That's what I think.
Yeah, but I don't know. It just seemed like this was a piece of advice that he would say all the time. Plus, they're tossing the football. So the whole time, I'm just thinking, like, I don't know what that means.
Right.
I can touch a building, but if it falls on me, I'm going to get crushed and die. Like,
right.
I'm not going to catch it.
Yeah, I think it was something that he said in his lifetime, you know, with Quinn when they would throw the ball around, you know. But in this case, it's trying to be like that mysterious, you know, advice from the other world, you know, coming back, not giving you the answer outright, but sort of making you work for it. Like, you have to interpret what it means, you know, like when you get like those, you know, in the stories when people get omens and things like that, you're not quite sure exactly what it means, but you have to interpret it, you know, and base your judgment on what you think it means. And I think that's what they were going for here, just kind of this mysterious Oracle type character that's saying, you know, you can get home, you just have to, you know, you have to figure it out. It's like, it, you know, you've been there before, you can do it, you can do this again, it's possible. And that's the way I looked at it. Like, even when I first saw it, I thought, well, that makes sense to me. Like, I'm thinking about that, and like, that's what he's trying to say, I think, in my opinion. I think that's what he's talking about. Not literally, if you can touch it, you can catch something, you know, like it's like more of a metaphor for that. Is right. What I'm thinking.
Well, you make a good point.
You know? So, you know. Yeah. Well, you know. Metaphor me.
And then, of course, Quinn comes back to life. And it all turns out that these Egyptian doctors, you know, being that the Egyptians had a preoccupation with death, have been doing these death experiments to try and find out what happens on the other side. And that's where we meet the doctor. What was her name?
Moura Beck was her name in the episode. And in the deleted scenes, she's called something else, and I don't know if that was her first name or if they actually just changed her name completely. I didn't mention it because I'm like, that's such a minor detail. So yeah, but Moura Beck is her name. She was played by someone named Apollonia. Do you know who Apollonia is?
It sounds very familiar.
See, I had no idea who she was. I mean, I remember watching the episode. I'm like, oh, she's kind of attractive. You know, got a little nice white skirt on there for a doctor. Okay. You know, and I was like, I didn't know who she was until I saw Messages in Time. And I was looking at him like, someone mentioned Apollonia. I'm like, and they're like, well, you'll hear about that Message in Time later. But I was like, who is this? And I looked it up, and she apparently she was with Prince in Purple Rain. She was in that movie, tied to him somehow. I don't even remember Purple Rain. It's been so many years. And I saw it when I was a little kid. But she's been in there. She's been in a couple other TV shows, I guess, or movies or whatever, as guest stars or something. She's not the best actress, but she apparently is well known because of her ties to Prince.
Yeah, I think that's maybe where I've heard of her before.
Yeah.
There you go.
It's weird, like, how Sliders gets these guest stars that are not really guest stars because no one really knows them. You know, it's like, I think I kind of know that guy or that girl. I don't know. Maybe. Whatever. You know, it's like, it's not like when Mel Torme came on. You know, people are like, oh, Mel Torme. We got Mel. We know who Mel is.
We've got Mel.
You know, it's like these people who maybe aren't acting as much anymore. Or, you know, it's like small little bit parts here and there. So that's who Moura Beck is. Apollonia is her name.
Well, you know, getting into the end part of the episode, the other three, thinking that Quint has died, decide that they're going to go and save Sheila from the Pharaoh's tomb because she's going to be locked up, right? Make his death mean something. Mm-hmm. And then, I mentioned it while we were going through the trivia there, they save her, she runs away, and then she's gone.
Right.
Out of the story, goodbye, Sheila. Say hi to Ryan for me.
Right. When she goes. Now, here's what I didn't understand. Like, I was trying to figure out, the pyramid seals itself. And when they had the news report on, I thought that the news reporter implied that because the interdimensional vortex was activated inside, that's why the pyramid started to seal itself. But then I was reading something else that said, no, it's because the scarab got loose. And that's why the pyramid sealed itself. So I'm not sure why the pyramid sealed itself, but those are two possibilities that came up when I was researching the stuff.
Yeah, I kind of got those two explanations from the episode, but then at the same time, I think they might have mashed them together. So it's like they opened the vortex, and the vortex being open somehow made the scarab go kaka, and then escape, and then the whole pyramid sealed itself. I'm not too sure. It does get a bit mixed.
It does.
Our sliders decide not to slide.
Right.
And the way they play in the episode, I think, is really good. Mm-hmm. Because they don't really have time to talk it out. It's just,
it's
time.
It's like 90 seconds, yeah.
Open it up. Arturo tells Wade and Remy to go.
Mm-hmm.
Wade says, no, I'm not going either. Remy's staring at it, thinking, do I or don't I? And then he doesn't.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, I thought it played perfectly.
I never thought, like, when it came down to it, like, if there was ever a moment, like, because they'll always give the timer off and be like, slide without me if I'm not back in, you know, a half hour. I never thought that any of them would slide without any of them. They're too much of a team, you know? And, like, yeah, Remy's looking at it, but I'm thinking, like, Well, if you go, man, you don't know what you're sliding into. You could be in the worst, you know, world dimension in, you know, ever. So, like, you know, at least here you're with people, you know, that care about you.
Yeah, and, you know, since we've never actually gotten the explanation of the 29 years, because it was cut, as we all know,
right.
They haven't really explained whether or not the vortex can be opened, or if it is exactly... it will not open again for 29 years. Because we know you can open the vortex anytime you want.
Right.
But you are corrupting data within the device itself.
Right.
Which is, you know, what happens with the new timer at the end. They just say, look, it's like 16 hours. Bugger it, just open it now.
Exactly. Exactly.
But, yeah, so can they open it within that 29 years? Like, they could still slide. But
right.
None of that has been explained to us, so we just don't.
Yeah, because the powers wouldn't, or the vortex wouldn't be at its strongest or something, so they could end up dying, I guess, or guess maybe getting lost or something within the vortex, because that's the whole point of the timer, when the two dimensions were like in sync or something, so it was easier, less strain on the timer, I guess, is what it was originally, right?
Yeah, I think so.
Right.
But it's very underdeveloped. And we just don't have these explanations.
But we do have explanations from the architect.
Who gets cut off as well. I love it. I love it when he shows up. And he's like, oh, there's a secret passage. We need to get to the computer room. And then he starts to explain it. He gets like three words in. And then it's just like, ah!
And that's the worst CGI right there, of him being eaten alive. It's just, you see... he's just like, it looks like he's laying like on a sofa with his arms up in the air, and he's like, the freaking CGI beetle like just chomping on him. It did not look good.
No, it didn't. But at least they got that tiniest bit of information. The key is in the computer room.
You know, there was a scene in there that, like, I thought was odd. There was a scene where I can't remember what he called himself now. It was the guy in charge. They didn't even give him a name. He just had, like, a title. It was the Carrie Hebb. The Carrie Hebb. He was in the car with his, like, right-hand man, and they were talking about – his right-hand man was talking about how he'll gain great power, you know, once they showcase Quinn, because he came back from the dead, and he'll be seen as this – you know, you were this great man who heralded this discovery and all that. And it just seemed like a weird, out of place scene. I guess I wasn't thinking much about the Carrie Hebb and his quest for power. It wasn't really developed that much.
Yeah, his plot was a bit weird. It seemed to me that, you know, the Pharaoh had died, so he's like some sort of intermediary, like a steward or something like that, who sort of holds the throne until the new pharaoh is sworn into his pharaohness or whatever. But he doesn't want to give up that power. So he's got all this stuff about, they're doing the death experiments and look how good I could be as a pharaoh. Pharaoh.
Yeah, it just seemed like thrown in there. Like, I didn't see... it felt weird to me. It felt very weird.
Yeah. And in the meantime, Quinn has gone off with the doctor and found himself a new timer. Conveniently, awesome.
Oh yeah, new timer. Oh good.
The pharaohs can do that.
Yes. Wade figures out the computer.
Yes.
They find the secret escape tunnel. They all get together.
Some hacking skills.
Yeah, more hacking skills. They all get together and they slide, and the bad guys are eaten.
Yeah.
Good ending. Fast ending. Whoa. You know, it's like, let's tie this all up in a bow. We're done. You know.
Yeah.
It felt like it moved too fast for me, that ending. You know, like the last 10 minutes, 15 minutes. It felt like everything was like boom, 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 boom. Okay, we fixed everything. We're good. Let's get out of here.
Well, it's like I said, like, just the beginning of the episode seemed so just weirdly cut together. Like, it was just like slow, 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 boom, something happens. And then, yeah, for the rest of the episode, it all just seemed to, like, just be a random series of events cut together, you know, not edited well, and, you know, I don't know. It was just something about the pace about this episode was just quite weird. Interesting story, but cut together strangely.
You know, now that they have that new timer, it's like the question is, like, are they still going to be landing in this wide spectrum? You know, like, what was it, 400, 500 miles between San Francisco and L.A.? Or are they going to be confined just to L.A. now?
Yeah, exactly. Like, do they still have that stabilizing problem that they had with the old timer? Who knows?
Like, obviously, in the deleted scenes, you know, Quinn makes a reference to getting the geographic stabilizer out of the old timer, but you know, in the episode proper, they don't talk about that at all. So just something to, you know, something to think about. The other thing that I thought was just like weird is like they're on this world where apparently people know about sliding. They can't do it. Only the royals, you know, the pharaohs and such can do it. But, like, even the newscaster was talking about an interdimensional vortex has opened. So they know about other dimensions in this world. This seems like this would be a good place to stay, even if they miss the slide, if they can get away from Kari Heb. Kari Heb. If you can get away from him, this might be a good place to stay to try to find some sliding equipment that might help you get home.
Yeah, just because the royals are the only ones allowed to use it doesn't mean that there aren't scientists and people who know about this, the people who develop the technology who could help them.
Exactly, you know? Yeah, and like,
they didn't get into any of that. Didn't reference it.
It was just like, you know, like Quinn wasn't surprised to hear that they knew about sliding at all. It wasn't like brought up really. It was just like there, and it's like he just accepted it. I was like, well, that's like a storyline that could have been, you know, developed a little bit more and taught, you know, like it would have been interesting, I think. But, you know, this is Sliders, so.
Yeah. At the end of the day, I thought it was a good story, a good concept with the Egyptian meshed with America kind of aesthetic going. The guy's missing the slide, getting a new timer. Good story, good episode. I just thought it was oddly paced and edited.
Yeah. Yeah, when that, like, I didn't remember it, all the details from when I first saw it, but when I was watching it this time and we got to the ending, I was like, well, that was really fast. They resolved those things so quick. Okay, all right, well, we move on then.
Why is she here? I wouldn't be alive if it wasn't for Deera.
Look, Quinn, we missed the slide.
I know. Thanks.
It's the police.
Can we go back that way?
Not unless you want to be tonight's main course.
Then I guess we better slide from here.
Where'd you get that?
It's the architect's escape plan.
Why is it counting down on its own world?
No idea, Professor. Maybe the architect hadn't planned on activating it manually. Just pray that it works. Come with us.
My work is here. I can't. And you were right. I have to put an end to those experiments.
That thing is right on top of us. Thank you for everything.
Good luck. I'll try to delay the police. Thank you.
Look, are we going to make it to the next world? This thing is still reading 13 hours. Just have to activate it early.
Well, that means corrupting the data. That means we'll be back to random sliding.
Who cares? Look, just get us out of here.
All right, well, let's get into some messages in time.
All right, so starting with the Egypt world, we've got some people were wondering, how come if this is an Egyptian-based world, why is everyone speaking English? Shouldn't they be speaking Egyptian? You know, it's like, come on. Then, yeah, of course, you know, people are like, well, you know, seriously, you know, if they did that, then they'd have to use subtitles. And of course, the sliders don't speak Egyptian, so they'd be standing there thinking, like, what are they saying? We don't know. You know, it's like you just got to go with it with those type of things, you know. Yeah, but yeah, people were talking about that. Another person said that there wouldn't have been pyramids in this area, in Los Angeles, because I don't know how true this is, but someone had said that even the Egyptians admitted, you know, much later, that the pyramids were really just the height of hubris. They just, you know, it was they're not like things that they would have built. You know, they built them just to glorify the pharaohs and everything like that. But it's not something that they would have done continually into modern times. It's just, I forget the exact quote, but it was something along those lines, basically, is what the guy was saying on the board.
Yeah, he's nitpicking there.
Yeah. They said, like I just said, Quinn should have looked for sliding machines since they're in this world, you know, that power their timer. And, you know, our timer worked off of Quinn's sliding machines. Where does this timer operate off? You know, it operates off of their sliding machine. So there had to be some sliding machines somewhere in this world. So they should have, you know, taken some time to look for them.
Yeah. They're not going to explain this to us. So get over it.
Oh, yeah, exactly. they said they think that the writers were a little bit confused about Egyptian slash Islam because some of the names and costumes appeared more Arabic and Islamic rather than Egyptian. They liked the Egyptian world, but they said it seemed like some of the things that they put in the episode were like sort of mixing the two together, Egyptians and Islam culture. So I don't know enough about either to say either way, but this is what someone had said. They also said the Alexander the Great history was really very simplified, and he was made out in the episode to be a little bit more important than he was in our world. Like he was not the only reason why the Egyptians did not expand their empire. There was other things going on as well, but they said they just simplified it too much. There was someone asking, well, you know, why weren't the sliders telling other societies, especially societies or dimensions with sliding technology, about the Cro-Mags? Because they probably should. You know, they said, why aren't they being like Paul Revere and saying, hey, the Cro-Mags are coming, the Cro-Mags are coming? Because, you know, likely the Cro-Mags will happen upon those worlds. So they said, why aren't they telling them about that? It's like, yeah, I don't know. I'm going to tell you.
Fair enough.
It's like, they're coming back soon. Don't worry. The necrology ward, they said, looked like the lab from State of the Art. And they were talking again about the recycled sets again. You know, they're getting, you know, reusing things too much, not changing it up. Yeah, that's what happens.
Yeah.
They agreed with us. The reaction of Quinn dying and the, you know, what Wade, Arturo, and Remy said and did was, you know, was great. They thought that was really well acted. But they said the decision to go rescue the girl just was weird. Like, if they said if my close friend had died, I wouldn't just go out and try to rescue someone that they had tried to help. You know, it's like you need mourning time. You know, you need to, like, be alone and talk about things. And, you know, they said it was just a little bit off for them.
Right.
They said it was a little too neat and tidy, this episode, because the girl, Sheila, she had worked at the necrology lab. The timer was right there under the table. The scarab grabs just the architect and no one else. It was just, like, a little bit too just, like, convenient in all these places, what they were saying. Which, yeah, you know, I could see. That's, you know. They said Apollonia was a bad actress, but she was nice to look at. And they said, that's why you hire her, you know, because you hire it for the adolescent boys to look at. And I was like, really? Because, I mean, she was attractive, but, like, as an adolescent boy, I wouldn't have looked at her and thought, wow, she's, you know, she's amazing, you know? Like,
I thought she was fine. Like,
yeah.
There's really nothing I disliked about her.
Right. Yeah, I thought she was all right, you know. I mean, like, as an older man, I'm like, oh, she's a very attractive woman. I would have dated her, you know. But, like, as a young boy, I wouldn't have looked at her. I would have looked at her and thought, that's like my mom. I don't, you know, whatever. Yeah. Like, I wouldn't have been attracted to her, you know. So that whoever made that comment, I was like, well, all right, I guess, whatever. And then someone else was wondering, why didn't they just wait the 13 hours so they didn't have to do random sliding, you know? And I was like, no one answered it. And I was like, well, obviously, the bad guys were there, you know, Carrie Hebb and everyone. They were right there. They had to get away. So that's why.
If they called them, they would have taken the timer away from them.
Exactly. So I was like, that's kind of, you know, right there. The answer's right in front of you guys. All right. So we get into messages in time for Murder Most Foul. And they liked Remy's little line about how the Blues Brothers ripped off Sam and Dave. You know Sam and Dave, right? The original guys who sang Soul Man?
Yeah.
So that they say that was a great line because it's in character with Remy. You know, it's not something about like him being in the Navy. It's him referencing music stuff, which makes sense.
He knows his music history.
Exactly.
It's like when he picked out like Mozart or...
Yes.
that, and he goes, man, if you're going to play the game, you got to know the classic.
Exactly. People were sick of Wade and Quinn being the object of people's affections. You know, like they fall in love with Quinn or they fall in love with Wade or they're attracted to Wade. It's like, come on, let's get rid of the romance stuff. Let's move on. Let's get more to the, you know, the actual stories of that type of thing. They were tired of that. I can sort of see their point, I guess.
Yeah, do it or don't.
Yeah, you know, they said they saw the bad guy a mile away. You know, they knew it was going to be Bolivar. And like I said, I was like, oh, wow, he's got to be the bad guy. But then I was totally thrown off and thought, oh, no, it's Reed. But no, it's Bolivar. I was wrong. So they saw the bad guy a mile away. They liked Arturo figuring out how only one murder was real because of the smell of blood. I thought that was a neat little twist. Quinn was a we talked about this, how Quinn was surprised that he became a featured player. You know, they said it was good that Quinn was surprised. Like, he didn't, it's not like Quinn just walked up and expected to be Marple. It was like a surprise to him as well. So he well acted is what they were saying.
Yeah,
they said this was better. This was a better episode than having them jump into a world where time moves slower and it was like 19th century England. They liked the idea that it was modern day and they were just role playing. You know, right. they didn't want to have the world where, you know, things had just slowed down. Victorian era England was just normal in this dimension. So they liked that. They didn't expect Sliders to throw in the red herring of the Reed being the murderer. They thought, wow, that was a neat twist. They don't usually do things like that. You know, it's usually telegraphed pretty simply, and you know who the bad guy is. And so, yeah, it was good. Like I said, I like that as well. Yeah. People don't like Diggs, they said on the boards. I don't know why. How can you not?
He gives us exposition all the time, and it's fantastic dialogue.
Exactly.
So come on, people.
Yeah, and they mentioned Pavel. They said we love Pavel. You know, popping up in different outfits and different, you know, dimensions. But for whatever reason, they just don't like Diggs. They didn't nail it down to him being just there for exposition. But that's probably what they were thinking. Like, this guy just comes around with just this information. It's like, why do we have him? They said, all right. Let's see. Let's take a look at this episode. We've got the sliders separated. Check. Okay, we got the timer stolen. Check. Oh, creepy guy hits on Wade. Check. Arrested by police. Check. Corruption in high places. Yep, check. Getting jobs easily in highly coveted places. Yeah, check. The only thing that we're missing is computer evidence of a bad guy. But we hit all the other cliches in this episode for sure.
Well, they had to save Wade's computer hacking skills for the pyramid in the next episode.
Exactly. So they're like, yeah, very much tongue in cheek, but you gotta give them points for that. It is true.
Okay, so moving on to some messages from Earth Prime. So just a little bit.
Yes.
Just a tiny bit from our old mate iReactions over at the sliders.tv fan blog.
He liked our dramatic rereading of the missing scene about the 29.7 years. So it was really good. Now, I got to qualify that. Now, iReactions, for those of you who don't know, and I'm sure most of you listening do know, iReactions does write fan fiction, and he's written some really amazing Sliders stories. And I mean, seriously, there's some bad ones out there. There's a whole site dedicated to Wade and Quinn love stories, okay? You don't need to search that out. Don't do it. All right.
Well, I don't know. I think I should skim it for some punk rock.
Skim it for a little late
night
reading.
There could be some in there.
Well, iReactions writes some really great stories, and he wrote a great script. I can't remember the name of it now, but it took place after the last season of Sliders, and it saved everything in continuity, but at the same time rebooted the series. You know, it's really, really well written, and he's writing two more. I think one of them has been released, and I wish I knew. I forget where he released them at, but if you go over there to the sliders.tv, you can search around a little bit, and you'll find it pretty quickly. Or you can just ask, you know, make a post and ask about it, and he'll tell you. He wrote this great script, and people were talking about it. And, you know, in my past, I think I mentioned in episode zero how I used to do some voice acting. And it came up that I was, you know, part of this voice acting troupe online. And they had said, well, what about your, you know, can you guys do a rereading of this? You know, I was like, I don't know. They're not really doing fan projects now. They're focused on original work that they're writing. I don't know if they would get into it. You know, I'm not sure if they want to get mixed up with it again. Because when you work with other people's copyrighted material, you always run the risk of being sued or getting in trouble, you know.
Right.
So, you know, I don't think they would have done, they would do that again. But yeah, there was some talk about that a while back. Like, oh yeah, maybe you can get your actor friends to, you know, act out the parts of this and that. And it led into a whole discussion of, if you were going to reboot Sliders, would you want to have the original actors, or would you want to have, you know, new people playing the old characters of Quinn and Arturo, or would you want new characters entirely? And you know, our dramatic rereading convinced iReactions that yeah, we probably don't want other people playing the old actors because it's just not the same. as good as your Rembrandt is, it's just not the same as Clavant. I'm so sorry. So see, we've done some good. We've done some good. It's good.
I know that 2 minute segment was enough.
Exactly.
But we did want to give a shout out to our buddies over at the Sliders cast.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yes.
I mean, they've been a little behind on their episode release, but they did release a new episode and gave us a shout out.
Yes, we appreciate that.
Yeah, it does seem that maybe the episode was recorded a while back because they're talking about us being on season one.
Right. Yeah,
we're like halfway through season three now.
Right. Yeah.
But it was great to get a shout out from those guys over at the Sliders cast. So.
Yeah. So they're still recording. They're still around. I mean, without them, I probably wouldn't have. I wouldn't even be here without them because I just for some reason one night I was looking up Sliders stuff. Like I said, when I was getting back into Sabrina Lloyd and the whole Sliders thing about a year and a half ago. I found Sliders.tv. I found the Sliders cast and I started listening and started, I got on them a little hard, I admit, but I became a fan of them and I really got back big into Sliders. And then suddenly Corey pops up and someone who had seen me post on Sliders.tv said, "Hey, Corey, ask this guy," and here we are now, season three.
Yes. We're tracking along quite nicely.
We are. So, yeah, we appreciate the shout-out, and definitely check out Sliders Cast as well. If you're hurting for Sliders Entertainment, there's not a lot of it out there these days. So you got us and you got them. So check it out.
So next week's episodes are Paradise Lost and The Last of Eden.
Right. Maybe we should say now that we know that originally, or the way that things were aired, Last of Eden should come later.
Yes, as I think it's structured as like a flashback.
Yes.
So when we watch it, we're going to be, it might be thrown off that they have sort of restructured it in that flashback form.
Mm-hmm.
But it is a story that is supposed to come before the big two-parter.
Exactly. So, and yeah, we'll talk more about it, next episode. But just so y'all know, we know that it is a flashback episode, but it wasn't supposed to be. All right. Well, that's it for this episode of the Rewatch Podcast. Keep up with listener interaction by liking our Facebook page at facebook.com/rewatchpodcast and follow the show on Twitter at Rewatch Pod. You can also visit our webpage at rewatchpodcast.podomatic.com, which has some of our favorite links there, such as Dimensions of Continuity, EarthPrime.com, and the forum over at sliders.tv.
And remember, you can always write us an email or record a voice message and send it to the Rewatch Podcast at gmail.com. We love to hear from you guys.
Yeah, definitely.
And also, if you've enjoyed the show, please consider giving us a rate and review on iTunes. It'll take you a minute. You can give us 5 stars and tell us how awesome we are and let the world know that you love us here at the Rewatch Podcast. That would be fantastic.
Yeah.
All right. Thank you for joining me, Tom.
Of course.
So I'll just say, until next time, have you lost your marbles, my boy?
We got a slide.
The Rewatch Podcast is not associated with NBC Universal, St. Clair Entertainment, Fox, or Sci-Fi Channel. The use of any and all copyrighted material is only for parody, news analysis, critique, or educational purposes, as provided in United States Code, Title 17, aka Fair Use. Music provided by Kevin MacLeod at incompetech.com. Copyright 2015, The Rewatch Podcast.